theologically, everybody needs to know that God is here. He's everywhere at one time. And when I say that, we use a big $50 word to describe that. We call it omnipresent. It means that God is everywhere at one time, at all times. That means if I pray for China, it's an instantaneous reaction within the kingdom of God. That as I pray for God to move in China, he's already there, ready to move. And so I could instantaneously say a prayer for a brother in China right here, right now, who might be sick in body, and God instantaneously answer the prayer and heal him while the words are coming out of my mouth. God is everywhere at one time. And I love the fact that I can rely on that. And there are times in my Christian experience that I have relied on the fact that I know God is with me. I didn't feel him. I didn't have some great presence come around, but I just trusted that he was there. And I said, yes, God is with me. Have you ever had to encourage yourself in the Lord and say, God is with me? Even though you didn't feel it or didn't necessarily know if you could even technically point him out, but you just trusted the word of God that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and you're in some type of struggle or situation where you just had to believe him and trust him. There are times in our lives where we have to do that. But there's something special within the realm of the kingdom of God, and it's when God manifests his presence. And that's the most wonderful time that you can have when you're in church. I love it when God manifests his presence. I love it when Jesus comes by and he's there. I love it when the congregation can recognize it. I love it when the people spontaneously erupt in praise because he has entered into the house. There's a vast difference between knowing God is there and experiencing God when he is there. Amen? There's a vast difference in it. And I love the experience of his presence. And we all have different reactions. Some of us are quiet. Nothing wrong with that. If you're a quiet person, you can praise the Lord in quietness. Matter of fact, sometimes it's okay to be quiet. Amen? So you don't have to be loud and obnoxious like I am. You can be like you, and it's just fine. But if you're like me and you get in the presence of God, you might cry. You might go, oh, thank you, Lord. You might get exuberant. You might shout. You might run. You might jump. You might skip. You might look like a fool to the world's eyes, but you're entertaining the presence of God. No matter how you respond, whether you respond in quietness with a raised hand with tears flowing, or if you respond with a shout of praise, or with an exuberant outburst of dancing and rejoicing, it doesn't matter your response. The fact is when he comes, there needs to be an entertainment time. We need to entertain his presence when he does come. There's nothing better than entertaining the presence of the Lord. And I love I call them Holy Ghost goose pimples. I like those. And I like it when the hairs on my body stand at attention. And my ears, you know, you can tell when the presence of God shows up, because when the presence of God shows up, everybody's ears are in tune. They're listening. I mean, doesn't matter where they are. They're listening. You know, I think if you don't pay attention, you can miss what God's doing in this place. If you don't pay attention, you'll miss it. Matter of fact, there are many services where the Spirit of God is manifesting his presence, and instead of paying attention to it, you're in la-la land thinking about something else when the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you. And the devil's got you thinking about your lunch and your dinner and thinking about what you have to do and your busy life and your busy schedule, and your mind isn't fixed. You know, one of the worst things I did in high school was I didn't pay attention. I was in the classroom while the math teacher was teaching. My body was physically there, but my mind was somewhere else. And I didn't learn very much. Matter of fact, I regret that to this day because I wasn't in the room. There's something special about people who are in the room. Not just in body, but in mind and heart. not just in their physical presence, but in their mind. They're fixed on what's going on in here. Their spirit is in tune and waiting for the presence of God to manifest himself so that we can entertain his presence. There's something about being in the room. Because there have been many times that while you were in La La Land, God was moving. Come on now. While you were thinking about something else, God was talking. When God was bringing deliverance, you were somewhere else. And so you got to be in the room. Now, I want you to think about it. I say that because here's a man who is blind and he can't even see when Jesus is passing by. And here he is on the streets of Jericho, or the outskirts of Jericho, on the street, and Jesus is just passing by. And here, blind Bartimaeus is at a place in his life where if he don't pay attention, if he don't use the other senses of his body, if he doesn't rely on touch, he won't know what people look like or how they feel. And he, if he doesn't rely on hearing, he won't know if anybody, if they're standing in front of him or if they're far away or if somebody's there that needs to be paying, that he needs to pay attention to. He doesn't have sight. He has ears and he has a mouth and he's got hands to feel, but he has no sight. So if there's ever been a man in the Bible that got a touch from God because he paid attention, this is one of them. He had to pay attention. While people were walking by, he was begging to save his own life. While people were kicking up the dust on the road and him sitting on the sideline, he's saying, can you give me some money? I'm a blind man. I need some help. Can you help me? I need some help. You see, they didn't have a social security program. They didn't have a way to take care of him. He was a man in desperate need to be helped. And so he begged for his livelihood. And so when a person started walking by, think about it. I bet you his ear was in tune to people's footsteps. I bet you he could smell the dust that they kick up. I bet you there were times he might even reached out and touched the ankles of people while he sat there begging. Can you please help me? I'm in need. And one day, while he's paying attention, God manifests his presence. One day, while his ears are in tune and his hands are ready and his mouth is ready, he's paying attention and he says, and he hears these words, hey, there's Jesus. Hey, there's Jesus. He's passing by. Look, there's Jesus. And the crowd is walking and the footsteps are loud and the dust is big as he could smell it more than he's ever smelled it before. A great crowd following him out of the city and everybody's saying, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. And if there's ever been a moment for blind Bartimaeus to seize, it's right here. How does a blind man take hold of this Jesus who's manifesting his presence? How does a man like blind Bartimaeus get the attention of a man like Jesus? Well, he can't rely on his sight because he can't see. And so he's got to rely on other things in his life. And listen, let me tell you this, that if you focus, what you focus on in your life, if you focus primarily upon your shortcomings, you'll have a hard time seeing Jesus in your life. But if you focus on the areas where God has blessed you, you'll be able to overcome the shortcomings in your life. You see, when Jesus started walking by, blind Bartimaeus, he changed. Everything changed when Jesus passed by. Everybody else, he's like, hey, I need some money. I need some money. I need some money. But you see, he had heard something that this Jesus could do something in his life that nobody else could do. A doctor couldn't heal him. Nobody, no physician could take care of it. There wasn't another person that gave him money that could help him. Everybody was just trying to get blind Bartimaeus by in life. We just got to get him by. Let's give him enough money to shut him up. You know, okay, I'll drop a little bit in there. I'll drop a little money in there. That'll get him to quiet down and quit asking me for money. And if he asks me on the way out, I'll tell him I already gave you some. That's what most people were doing. But then he heard the best news he could ever hear. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. And just as he hears it, he doesn't even miss a beat. His focus shifts. He isn't holding up a cup saying, hey, money. He isn't focused on his blindness anymore, going, I need to just get by. He heard that Jesus passed by, and he knows that Jesus has the power to heal. And in his mind and in his heart, he shifts and says, I'm no longer focused on this. I'm focused on not just trying to get by. I'm focused on getting to Jesus, who's going to take me to another level in my life where not only do I not have to beg anymore, but I'm going to be able to work and do what I need to do to take care of myself. I'm not going to have to rely on this person and that person to provide for me anymore. I'm going to be able to provide for myself. And so he quit begging and he started hollering. And he shifted his mind and his heart, and he started looking towards Jesus. And that's something that you need to realize, is that you got ears to hear. You may not have everything going well for you right now, but you got ears to hear. And if there's one thing you need to get this morning, is this: Jesus has the power to minister to your need. Jesus has the power to minister to your need. See, the enemy wants you to focus on your failures. He wants you to focus on where you are not good. Come on now. You all know that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching against bettering yourself and being stronger in Christ. I'm not preaching that we ought not to deal with the things in our life that bring us down, that we ought not to declare war against the enemy who attacks us. I'm not preaching against that. But what I am telling you is that if you keep looking at you and trying to think that you should do something better or be better, you're going to miss the whole point of serving Jesus Christ. Because serving Christ is not about how good you are. It's about how good he is. And if you can get to Jesus when he's manifesting his presence, you're going to find a blessing that you never thought you could ever have. But you're going to have to pay attention. And you're going to have to quit looking and focusing on other things. And you're going to have to shift your focus on Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, he hears that Jesus is passing by. And so he immediately and instinctively uses the very thing he has that's good. He doesn't get up and stumble through the crowd, grabbing people by their coats. Are you Jesus? No, because who knows if he's going the wrong way? Who knows if he went the wrong way? So he doesn't do it that way. So what he does is he starts elevating his voice. And I wonder how loud he was. You know, we don't like to get loud in church. And so it makes me as a pastor wonder, how loud was he? What octave did he reach when he just started crying out? How passionate did he get? Because here's a man sitting on the road. Jesus is passing by. He can't get to Jesus. He can't get to Jesus. Somebody helps him get to Jesus. And the crowd doesn't seem very favorable. And so he just takes the very good thing he's got and he lets it loose. You know, instead of you focusing on how bad you are, maybe you ought to focus on some things that are good. I got a scripture for that. It's Philippians 4:8. Whatever think on these things, whatever's honest, true, a good report, whatever's praiseworthy, think on these things. Because the enemy will fill your mind with his garbage and he'll stop you from entertaining the presence of God or getting into the presence of God or taking opportunity to get into the presence of God because your focus is all messed up. Well, God doesn't want to be with me. Look at me. I'm blind. Well, Jesus doesn't want me. I'm not high enough in the hierarchy. I don't have the right credentials. I'm just a blind beggar. God, Jesus doesn't want me. Who told you that? I said, who told you that Jesus doesn't want you? I said, who told you that God doesn't love you? Who told you that God doesn't have good things for you? Who told you that God is done with you and finished with you and doesn't want to be a part of your life? Because whoever told you that is a liar, and it comes from the father of all lies. I don't care how bad you've been, my dear friend. I don't care if you've got the ugliest past in your past that you've had, and you could sit and tell some horror stories in this church. It does not matter. What matters is this. Are you willing to use the good thing that God's put in you that you can tell? With that sense, I may not be able to see him, but he sure is going to hear me. He's going to hear me. And so blind Bartimaeus, he just lets it out. He lets it go. Oh, how we need people to let go of what God has placed in their life, what is good and what is right. Because if you just let it go, something happens between the moment that you just get that energy and the air goes into your lungs and it gets down deep, and all of a sudden as you release the praise of what is right, it comes out, and there's a release that happens at the moment you let go, and power is unleashed, authority is unleashed, anointing is unleashed. And Jesus is passing by that day, and he just, Jesus! Now, hold on, don't clap yet. We ain't there. Jesus, he cries. Now, God, listen, he's blind. He doesn't know the distance. He doesn't know if he's 10 people away or if he's 50 people away. He doesn't know what footprints are his. He just knows there's a crowd. He just heard Jesus is there. He doesn't know how far he is, so he's got to be loud enough that everybody in the crowd, some people are. There's nothing wrong with that. Blind Bartimaeus, he's got to reach a level and get his voice to be heard. And so he doesn't, he's not, Jesus. It's not the stillness and the quietness of his prayer time that Christ stops and comes over to him. No, Christ doesn't stop because blind Bartimaeus bowed his head and said a quick little prayer. Oh, Jesus, if you can hear me, would you please come to me right now? I really want you to come to me. Please, Jesus, come to me right now. No, that's not what he did. There's something powerful in the heart of God's people when they elevate from a place of just being quiet and reserved and they cry. There's power in a cry. You know, the Bible says that God, he takes our tears and he bottles them. He knows them. He understands them. If he knows that much, how much more does he know the vocal cords that cry out? It doesn't even have to be a word, does it? It doesn't even have to be something that makes sense. It may only be, oh, God. It doesn't have to be that. There used to be a day in the church when people howled, when they moaned. They'd moan in the church, in the hallways of the church, and they would moan and moan because they understood the power of just crying out to God. Didn't have to say a word, didn't have to have a cohesive sentence together, just a cry. God hears those things. And blind Bartimaeus lets out a cry. And he cries out to Jesus. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, here's the problem with many people is that they cry, but they're crying, and their cry is not directed in the right place. Blind Bartimaeus quit begging and started crying towards Jesus. You see, a lot of our cries are begging just to get by. Some people come to church on Easter and Christmas just to get by. Some people come just, I need to get a little spiritual fix. I need to get a little touch. I need to get a little bit in me to make me feel like, okay, I did some good. You see, there's people who beg in that respect. But then there are people who cry out in a direction towards Christ. And Christ hears the cry. And the cry hits the heart of God. There's a difference between people who are begging to get by and people who are crying for a miracle. And there are a lot of Christians that come to church Sunday after Sunday and they just want to cope with the fact that they're struggling or that they're hurt or that they've been through things or that that life hasn't been an easy road. And so they're just trying to cope with the problem. But Jesus, when he passes by, he doesn't teach you coping mechanisms. He doesn't give you a 10-step program to cope with your blindness or your circumstance. He will bring the healing in your life that you need. And so you got to shift your cry from a begging mentality to a manifest presence of God that says, I know you can hear me. And so the cry has got to get loud sometimes because people are noisy. You don't realize, but the person next to you may not be saying anything, but they have a lot of control over you. You know why? Because if I was to ask you to say, I want you to scream out right now, Jesus! Those people beside us, they have a lot of control over how we act. But see, when you get fed up with the crowd, you get fed up with trying to keep up pretenses with people, and you're done dealing with what you've been going through, you will cry. I said, you will cry. You will be done with it, and you won't care what Mr. Know-Nothing sitting behind you thinks of you. You won't care what sister over there who has that judgmental spirit is going to think of you. You're not going to care about what your wife or your husband's going to think of you. You're not going to care if your children look at you and go, boy, you're a weirdo, mom. You're a weirdo, dad. You're not going to care about any of that. You're going to let it out. You're going to suck it in, and you're going to cry it out. And because you are desperate, you see, you got to get to a place where your desperation causes a reaction. We go. Amen. You see, if you study the stories of great miracles that Jesus performed, all these people, they stood out in a crowd. They stood out. And something significant about them, the woman with the issue of blood stood out because she pressed through. Blind Bartimaeus had to cry out above the crowd. Because they were going to stop him. The man who was lowered down through the roof had to be lowered down through the roof because the crowd was in the way. I've been preaching this to you for the last 5 weeks now. Because I'm trying to get you past everybody else and get you focused on what matters most in this place. It's not the neighbor sitting next to you. It's the Jesus that comes to this place with you. And the Jesus that manifests himself in this house. So he cries out. Oh, he cries out. He cries out. And isn't it like the people? Shh. Quiet. Be quiet. We don't act like that in church. But that's how, see, that's the problem, is that we can't be real in church anymore. That's the problem. We got to be religious, dignified. We got to have on the three-piece suits and the women got to be in the dresses. And everybody's got to sit there at the somber face looking with the religious attitude of, I have arrived. And I'm telling you that that's the most boring church to go to in all the world. Amen? I don't want to go where I can't be real. I don't want to go where my dance makes you mad. I don't want to go to a place where you got to shut me up. You got to shut me up because I'm going to get louder. Amen? I'm going to get louder. Amen? Matter of fact, I love the stubbornness of this man. The church said, shh, shh, quiet. Be quiet, blind Bartimaeus. And he doesn't even miss a beat. He gets louder. That's how stubborn we need to be. Because if you're really desperate for God to do something in your life, the person who told you to shut up, that's the voice of the enemy telling you to reserve yourself down. Quit trying to get your Jesus' attention. Quit trying so hard to grab the attention of Christ. That's what the enemy's trying to do. And he does it time and time again in a Sunday service when you should have shouted glory to God. And instead of shouting glory, your neighbor had control of you. Blind Bartimaeus, he just let go. He just let go. And they said, shut up. And so he got louder. Jesus! I don't even need a microphone with that one. Son of David! Have mercy! And here's the powerful part. His cry is specific. It's not Buddha. It's Jesus. It's not AA. It's Jesus. It's not the drug rehabilitation program. It's Jesus. It's not my neighbor. It's not my husband or my wife. It's Jesus. Everything he cries is Jesus. It's a beginning, it's the end, and it's the only name that mattered in the crowd. Let me tell you something. The only name that matters in this crowd this morning is not Pastor Bruce Grimmett. It's not Pastor Jack Thompson. It's not Pastor Zach Williams or whatever your Zach Klepper. It's not any of those names, amen? It has nothing, the name that is above every name, that name is Jesus. And so he doesn't cry for somebody who can't do it. He cries for the one he knows and whom he has the power to do the miracle that he needs. And so he cries specifically, Jesus! Blind Bartimaeus, his name don't matter. Jesus' name matters. None of the names in the crowd matter, but Jesus matters. And oh, how we need to understand the power of the name of Jesus. How we need to understand it. Because when we can say his name, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, even demons tremble and they respect his name. For the demon said, Paul I know and Jesus I know. I'm telling you that every demon in hell knows the name of Jesus. So sometimes you just need to march through the house. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you don't even have to be specific. You're just telling the devil, you better recognize who belongs here. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But then he even gets more specific. Son of David. That is the first time in the Gospels that Jesus was recognized in the lineage and as the king to come. Everybody in the crowd had eyes to see, but only the blind man could really see him. You hearing me? That blind man had perception deeper than his eyes could take him. And sometimes we get stuck with what's right here. I see the bills, I see the finances, and it ain't gonna work, amen? I see the family, I see the struggle, I don't see the solution. We got all these things we see, and sometimes we got to close our eyes and quit looking at that. Because the blind man could see deeper than most of the people that day. And he said, Son of David. He recognized his authority as a king. And the blind man was the one who saw it. And isn't it I love what Jesus does, because Jesus is so, he's cool, amen? If there's ever been a hip man around, it's Jesus. If there's ever been a guy who knew how to handle it, it was Jesus. And the crowd that told blind Bartimaeus to shut up, the Bible said that when Jesus heard it, he stopped. like it when he stops. How do you get Jesus from just passing by to stop? You got to get his attention. You're going to have to cry. You're going to have to reach further than you've reached before. Because he isn't going to stop. See, Jesus didn't come to stay. He came to pass by. There are times that the Holy Spirit's going to pass by. And if you don't take advantage of it, what's going to happen is you're going to wonder what could have been when you should have grabbed hold of him and received. So Jesus stops for him. And this is the fascinating part. The people who told him to shut up, Jesus said, tell him to come here. That part makes me happy. Amen. I'm just baffled by that. The same people said, shh, shh. Had to look at him and say, hey, arise, be of good cheer. He's calling you now. Oh, I love that. Talk about just bringing them back to reality. Bringing these people. See, we don't know what they thought. Maybe they thought Jesus was too good to deal with the blind man. Maybe they thought he was the upper guy. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the president. He doesn't need to be dealing with nursing home people. Come on now. That's kind of how maybe they treated him. This is Jesus. This is the man of God. This is the prophet of God. This guy is special, and he don't have time to deal with little old blind Bartimaeus. And the same people that told him to shut up had to say, hey, good news. Good news. Jesus is calling you. You know, that's still the good news today. It's called gospel good news. Jesus is calling you. And blind Bartimaeus is brought to him. He has to be brought. And I like this because I've thought about, what does it mean he cast his coat from him? Because the Bible says he took his coat and he cast it off of him. And that coat could represent his past. That coat could represent the dust of where he's come from. Because he probably used that coat to cover him from the dust that he had to sit on all day long. And he cast it off of him. And they led him to Jesus. Now here's a guy that was told to shut up, was told to be more reserved, and he's standing right in front of the miracle. He's standing right in front of his miracle. And Jesus asked him this question. And he's asking you the same question. What is it you need me to do for you? I want you to think about that. Because chapters before, chapter 10, the disciples were asked the same question, and they said, can we have positions in your kingdom in heaven? That's what they wanted. And there are a lot of people who want different things, but know this, that if it's within the will of God and it's within the plan of God for your life, God is ready to bless you with it. You hear me? If it's within the will of God and it's within the plan of God for your life, God is willing to bless you with it. And this is what blind Bartimaeus said. He didn't have to shout it anymore. He's standing right in front of it. And he said, oh, Jesus, that I could see again. That I could see again. I need my eyes back. And Jesus said, so be it. And the Bible doesn't say the crowd went, whoa! They weren't in awe. They didn't go, oh my goodness, look at that. It wasn't like that. No, this was a busy road. This was traveling down. Only a few probably got to see the miracle really transpire. And the people in the back of the crowd probably had to ask, hey, what happened up there? What happened? What happened up there? Oh, blind Bartimaeus, you got healed. Now the crowd keeps moving. Blind Bartimaeus, the Bible said immediately. Not next week, immediately. He received his sight immediately. And here's the kicker. He went from crying out, from hearing that he was there, to being able to see that he was there. Is it possible that there are people with under the sound of my voice that you have eyes to see, but you are blind spiritually? that you cannot see Jesus for who he really is. And that you have not surrendered your heart to a place that you can see him. And you need your eyes to be open to the power of God in your life. And you need to have your eyes open to see him for who he is. Maybe he's a good prophet. Maybe he's a good man. Maybe he's the man of God. But is he your Lord and Savior? Is he your son of David? Is he your king? Is he your redeemer? Because that's where the difference is. That's where the miracles are. The miracles are found in your focus upon who Jesus is in your life. And so Jesus heals him. And the Bible said this, that he followed him in the way. He went from only being able to cry to being able to see him. And he followed Jesus. You see, what happens when people get saved is they start to follow Jesus because they see him clearly now. I said they see him clearly now. And some of you need to see Jesus more clearly. Because Jesus is not, he's about all of us, isn't he? He's about you personally. But he's about me personally. He's about all of us. And even though the crowd that we can be around may not be for you, Jesus is. Come on now. I said Jesus is. Jesus is for you. Hallelujah.